Psalm 23. Psalm 23, let's read verses 1 on down to verse 6. Beginning at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5 is where we will be focusing on this morning. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Most particularly this morning will be, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, praise the Lord, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, praise the Lord, amen. Hope you know that. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for salvation. Thank you for bringing it to us, opening up our eyes and our understanding. And thank you for the assurance of eternal life and that we don't have to face the judgment that we deserve, and we don't have to face that wrath that we deserve because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And we praise you and thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, as we take some time here this Sunday morning to open up your word that you might bless, help us, God, to give attention to your word. And I pray that I could communicate truth this morning that would be a help to everyone in attendance. And I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much for standing there. All right, most of you here this morning are aware of this. Some of you not as much aware of maybe as others, but we've been looking at this chapter, Psalm chapter 23, been going through verse by verse, sometimes word by word. But we find here that David, the psalmist here, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know that we're dealing with the relationship of a shepherd to the sheep. And David, in considering that, as he was a shepherd caring for sheep, he looked upon that work there and that undertaking, and he couldn't help but consider how he took care of all those sheep day in and day out. They were essentially completely dependent upon him. I mean, them sheep, they couldn't take care of themselves. Just about every facet of their life, they needed his oversight, his care. And he looked at that and he said, well, that's what the Lord does for me. Every need that I have, he provides every need of my life. And so you see there in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. So it's a personal thing there that David says. And again, I hope you're here this morning. You know that to be so, that he is truly your shepherd. He says, I shall not want, and indicating that he believed that there is no want, there is no need, again, that he would ever have in life that his shepherd would not take care of. And he went on, I believe, down in the remaining verses there to express the needs that would be a part of his life, and that his shepherd would take care of every one of those needs. And he uses the metaphor, he uses the parallel with respect to the life of a sheep. And he says there in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And again, that's how David's care of those sheep. He would take those sheep to green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My shepherd, he's going to take care of me. He's going to lead me rightly. He's going to provide the protection that I need. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then verse 5, another need that was met, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. And as I prepare a table for the sheep, as I take them up to the highlands and give them the nourishment that they need and the good food that they need there and prepare that place for them. God does that for me. My shepherd does that for me. And this morning we continue on in verse 5. And we want to focus on, thou anointest my head with oil. perhaps almost every one of us here this morning, maybe there's a few that when I say this, you would say, I have no idea what you're talking about. There's a big thing that's going on today, and it's called essential oils. Essential oils. Have most of you heard of that? Essential oils? I don't really have a title most 90, 95% of the time when it comes to preaching, but I if I had to give a title to this, I would say the essential oil. The essential oil. This is the essential oil that everyone needs to have. This is the one that we're talking about this morning. And we find there in verse 5, thou anointest my head. So we continue this morning dealing with this relationship of the shepherd to the sheep. So as we get here at verse 5 and to this part of verse 5, we have to understand that there is something about this oil that is applicable to the care and management of sheep. Now the Bible has a lot to say about anointing with oil. And we are not going to do a whole lesson on that. We're going to make some brief comment on that. There are many different applications and purposes of the anointing and the oil. Anointing with oil was a symbolic act in Israel that pictured consecration to service. It was also common at festivals and joyous occasions and became an emblem of anything joyous, happy, and beautiful. The first instance of the religious use of oil in the Bible is found in Genesis 28:18, when Jacob set up some stones for a pillar and poured oil upon those stones, designating those stones in that place for sacred purposes. Again, designating it, consecrating that place for sacred purposes. That's how they use it. Under the Mosaic law, persons and things set aside for sacred purposes, such as the priest and the things of the tabernacle, were anointed with the holy anointing oil. You find that in Exodus chapter 30. It's called the holy anointing oil. Again, we've made mention of this in time past, but there's times where he told Moses there, take thy shoes off, for the ground thou standest on is holy ground. It was just dirt, but because it was being consecrated, had a particular consecration at that particular time, for the Lord's purpose and plan, it was called holy. This anointing oil that was used for the priests and the things of the tabernacle there, it was called holy anointing oil. But notice with me, let's just come back to Psalm 23 in a moment, but look at Leviticus 8, and we'll see an example of this oil being used, Leviticus chapter 8. Keep a place there in Psalm. Leviticus chapter 8, and look with me beginning at verse 10, please. Leviticus chapter 8, beginning at verse 10. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. So you see the picture here is for the consecration to service there. We have the things in the tabernacle and we have Aaron there as well. It was used for a religious ceremony, religious purposes there. And it's again, anointing oil. When you get to the New Testament, something else that you'll see, you can go back to Psalm 23 now, please. Psalm 23. But something you'll see as you get to the New Testament, it's used, that doesn't seem to come out in the same way in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, if you read through there, you'll find that at times it was used as a way of honoring guests. It was a statement of welcome and blessing, and they would use that oil. But here in Psalm 23, verse 5, it is not a dedication. Nor is it someone or something being consecrated for service, nor is it a blessing upon a guest. But here in Psalm 23, verse 5, it's something completely, completely different. Again, verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. So if we keep it in the context, we'd have to say as a shepherd, David knew there were times he anointed the sheep with oil. Hope you can see that picture. If you go back to verse 1 again, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives that metaphor, that parallel. When we get to verse 5, he says, thou, talking to the Lord, thou anointest my head with oil. So you have to look at that and know that there is a time that as a shepherd, with respect to sheep, David would take time to anoint those sheep. Thou anointest my head. What would he do? He'd take time to anoint their head with oil. There was a reason and a purpose for this anointing with respect to sheep. When David considered this anointing given to the sheep, he contemplated on another need in his life to which the Lord took care of for him. Again, as we've already made mention, there are needs being brought out here in Psalm 23. David continues on with that psalm. As we said, that psalm could be a song as well. As he continues on there, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And another need that you take care of for me, Lord, is you anoint my head with oil. Now, if we are to fully understand what David is implying or what David is inferring or what David is trying to say here, we're going to need to go beyond how oil is used in the Bible. We need to understand how oil is used for sheep. You understand that? We understand that in the Bible it's used for certain purposes, but when David says this, he put oil on sheep. So you have to understand why. Why was that? Why was oil put on sheep? In knowing how it is used for sheep, we find out how it is used for what? For God's sheep, specifically, personally, as David is one of God's. Lord, you anoint my head with oil. So how can we begin to understand that? Now, we could probably be here for weeks on this because oil for sheep covered so much. And covered is an interesting word that I just used there because there would be times where they would literally bathe those sheep in oil because they would get scabs on their body and it would just cause a tremendous problem to those sheep. And they would literally have to take that sheep and they would have these places that they take them to and put them in that and just to cover their whole body in oil to provide healing and to keep them from being infected more. But we won't be able to go into every part of what this oil is used for or how it is used for in the sheep or why it was placed upon the sheep's head. But we will go through enough of it, I think, to give us an understanding of what David is trying to say. To the sheep, summertime is known as fly time. Fly time. And this is a reference made to the hordes of insects that emerge with the advent of warm weather. A number of different parasites that trouble the flock and make their life miserable. Some of those would be known as the warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose, which is otherwise known as nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and other minute winged parasites. And their attacks on the flock can easily and quickly turn an enjoyable, relaxing time into a time of torture for the sheep and drive them almost to utter madness and insanity, these parasites. Now, most of us could probably just relate to that on an evening out in the spring or the summertime when those mosquitoes, some areas are worse than others, and those mosquitoes come out, by the time you know, you cannot enjoy yourself. You're trying your best. You're trying your best to enjoy yourself, and it's just not happening. Some people get it worse than others, and it's like, we got to go inside. We got to take this food. We're done. We're done. And some of you, if you wish, I could bathe myself in a thing of off. I mean, that would be great. Some people, that doesn't even work for, right? But you understand the annoyance of those, in our situation, mosquitoes, and anybody who's been around some horse flies can understand the annoyance of those horse flies. Again, some areas of the country are worse than others, but boy, can they be annoying. So essentially what you have happening here is you got sheep are in the same situation, maybe to another level, to a magnitude that's even greater than what we're accustomed to experiencing. Some of you in here, I'm just a city boy, as most of you know. Some of you may know it and be able to tell us a whole lot better than me about the farmland. We didn't experience some of this in the streets of Philadelphia. But sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly, or what is commonly referred to as a nasal fly. These little flies, just let me tell you a little bit about these flies. Give me a little bit of time as we get to where we're going to get to today. But these little flies, they buzz about the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. Isn't that a blessing to come to church? You hear about all these good, interesting details. They work their way up. We're not done. they work their way up into the nasal passage, into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh and there set up an intense irritation accompanied by severe inflammation. So you should be able to get that picture. If they're successful in getting to do what they want to do, they've basically lodged themselves up inside the head of that sheep and are, if you will, setting up camp. They're setting up camp there. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, posts, and brush. That's probably where you hear the statement, I feel like I'm beating my head up against the wall, right? And that's what sheep will do when this takes place. If this takes place, a good shepherd doesn't allow it, and we'll see that here in a minute. But if it takes place and it happened and these flies were successful, they'll just beat their head. They'll rub their head in the soil and thrash around against woody growth. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to gain respite from the aggravation. Often the advanced stages of these flies and the infection from these flies will lead to blindness. So they get up there and lead to blindness. Because of this, when the nose flies hover around the flock, some of the sheep become frantic with fear and panic in their attempt to escape their tormentors. They'll stamp their feet erratically and race from place to place in the pasture, trying desperately to elude these flies just running around. Some may run so much that they drop from sheep exhaustion. Instead of sheer exhaustion, sheep exhaustion. Others, they toss their heads up and down and around. So if you were out there, you'd see them. When I read up on all this stuff, it kind of gave me a visual of what I see sometimes all across America. But maybe it was just me. But can you make a picture of that sheep? I mean, I'm getting dizzy doing that. It's just driving them crazy, crazy. On some occasions, they even refuse to graze out in the open at all. They at times will hide in any bush or woodland that offers them shelter from these tormentors. All this excitement and distraction has a devastating effect on the entire flock. Some will be injured in their headlong rushes of panic. Others may be blinded and some even killed outright. So the difficulties of fly time require the strictest attention be given. The very first sign of flies among the flock requires an antidote that needs to be applied to the heads of these sheep. One shepherd stated how he preferred to use a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which was smeared over the sheep's nose and the head as a protection against these nose flies. He went on to say, when he did that, there was an incredible transformation that it would make amongst these sheep when he did that. Once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in the behavior. Gone was the aggravation, gone was the frenzy, gone the irritability and the restlessness. And instead, once that homemade remedy was applied, the sheep would start to feed quietly again, then soon lie down in peaceful contentment. The Bible says there in Psalm 23, verse 5, "Thou anointest my head with oil." David found a correlation, I believe, to the way sheep behaved at times, to the way he found himself behaving at times. As best I can tell, David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil," because there's sometimes, and sometimes I get troubled as well. It seems as though David is inferring that at times the same thing happens to him. Not that the parasites get up in his nose and lodge up in his head there, but if you will, some things get lodged up in my head. There's some unclean things. There's corrupt things from the world. They get up into my mind and they adversely affect me and they affect my mind and they torment me at times. And David says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Now this problem, if you will, affects nearly everybody. If you will, this problem affects everybody. This problem affects us from time to time. And if you will, the world is residing in a situation just like these sheep, where their mind is so troubled and they can't get no relief from it, and they're banging their heads up against the wall. But David's saying, "Lord, thou anointest my head with oil." So if you will, God's people, from time to time, their mind gets all messed up. Their mind gets troubled. Their mind bothers them. In the Christian life, most of our contamination by the world, by sin, by that which would defile and disease us spiritually, comes through the mind. Comes through the mind. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10:5. What it does is these things of the world and sin and things that try to defile us, they find a way up into our head and they mess us all up. It's the case of mind meeting mind to transmit ideas, concepts, and attitudes which can be very, very damaging. Often it's when we get our heads together with someone else who might not necessarily have the mind of Christ that we come away infected with concepts that are not right. We come away infected with concepts that are not Christian. Our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our choices, our decisions, our impulses, our drives, our desires are all shaped and molded through the exposure of our minds to other minds. You understand that? All of this, our minds being exposed to other minds is what shapes and molds so much of the way we think. Our modern era of mass communication has caused a mass mind. You understand that? Mass communication, that's all that's coming in, and it's caused a mass mind. It's caused trouble. A mind molded and severely infected by the subtle pressures and influences made on us by television and by radio and by the internet and by the scores and scores of different social media apps that are out there today are severely infecting our mind. I'm not even aware of all these social apps. Perhaps you are, I don't know, but I know recently I heard of this one called TikTok. And the first time I heard about it was when I heard that the president was looking to, what was he looking to do? He was looking to, what was it? Ban it. I said, TikTok? What is TikTok? I never heard of TikTok. And then when I asked about that, I found out, oh yeah, that's been around for a while. Oh yeah, this is the group that uses that. Oh yeah, it has this capability and this capability. And there's another one that does this and another one that does this. All that stuff is shaping and molding and infecting our mind. It's messing us up. It really is. It's messing us up. And it was interesting because that was the first time I ever heard of it. And I'm sure there's others out there that I'm not aware of. They'll come up with a new one. The generation we live in now lives on apps. From the littlest child to the oldest, lives on apps. You know what that child does? You ever see them in a waiting room? You ever see them even in a grocery store? They're sitting in their cart there, or they're sitting in a store. The only thing that keeps them quiet now is what? An app. So all they have to do, they learn how to use apps, right? All they have to do is hit that app. That thing comes up, whatever it may be, whatever game it may be, or whatever it is. And then I've watched it. They'll play it for a little while. Something happens, and they'll get with mommy or daddy, who's ever with them, and tell them what the problem is. And then mommy and daddy will fix it, and then they'll be back off to being quiet. You know what that's doing? That's shaping and molding and infecting the minds. It's mind meeting mind. It's mass communication making a mass mind. You know that? That's what we're dealing with today. And that app, obviously, I use a child example, but that app, you're here today. I don't know what your relationship is with apps, but apps are like little insects just infecting the fire out of your mind. They're infecting us. Whether people choose to agree with it or not, the reality is that the mass media is largely responsible for shaping the minds of the people today. You cannot be exposed to such contacts, and not walk away without being contaminated. You just can't. These sheep would get around those particular insects there, and they're going to get contaminated unless they get some help. But let me show you a simple example. Look at Nehemiah chapter 12. You got to go to the left there a little bit to Nehemiah chapter 12. You cannot continue to be exposed to such contexts and not come away without being contaminated. Nehemiah chapter 12, chapter 13, verse 23, please. Chapter 13. In my reading, I just came across this as I was studying this. I couldn't help but see that this is a real prime example of contamination. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning at verse 23. In those days also saw I, and this is Nehemiah speaking here, in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Why you bring it out? I'm saying exposure to others, exposure to the world is going to contaminate you so that you will end up speaking their mind instead of God's mind. You understand that? And that's where we are today, where we are speaking their mind and not God's mind. And so what happened here in Nehemiah chapter 13, because of their association, because of what they joined themselves to, their speech was not what it should be. Because their mind met with other people's minds, and now they couldn't even speak, if you will, the Jewish language. Because of their exposure, because of their association. Back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The troublesome times that we live in can certainly be attributed, and maybe you have all kinds of ideas, and certainly the people in the world have all kinds of ideas of why we're living and dealing with the time. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's his fault, her fault, her fault. You know, they got all kinds of reasons why we're in the situation that we're in right now, and the troublesome times that we seem to be dealing with it. But one of the greatest reasons for the times that we live in is the corruption of the mind. The corruption of the mind. The thought patterns of people have changed dramatically in the last 75 years. The way that people think, the thought patterns of people have become very unclean. They become indecent as opposed to moral, decent, and righteous. We live in a very perverted society, a very immoral society. The cussing that spews out of people's mouths and the immorality that prevails all throughout our land. We're living in a time where there's more of a tendency to violence and hatred and greed and cynicism and a tremendous disrespect for that which is wholesome and pure. That's where we are today. Minds have got grossly corrupted and infected. And if you will, it's just setting up camp in the minds of people today. And it's causing a scary sight. It's a scary sight. We'll come back to Psalm, but turn Psalm 23 just real quickly to Philippians 4. I want you to see this. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's where God wants the minds to be, certainly the minds of his children to be. Verse 8, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, what, you know what? I'm not saying you can stay in here 24/7, so please don't, I'm not trying to put a burden on you that you can't bear, but you're going to have a hard time finding truth away from this book. Because just about everything is a lie today. I mean, somebody says this and somebody says this, and you don't know what. You don't know who to trust and who not to trust. So the Bible says there, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what God wants us to think on. I would ask you before we go back to Psalm 23, how do you do in that department? How do you do in that department? What I see, generally speaking, as a whole, I don't see people doing too good. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, Listen, all this, I'm sorry, I don't know how to speak like the, like most preachers today, but I'm just saying all this garbage that people are communicating across the airways and communicating across social media tells you that your mind is in the gutter and your mind is not where it needs to be. Amen. It tells you that your mind is not where it needs to be. Some of the stuff that you're talking about, some of the stuff that you're writing about, why are you wasting your time doing that? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things, you're not going to get this at the First Baptist Church of the town. I know you're not. Every time I hear myself talk, it's not what preachers are doing today. But that's what's causing tremendous problem today. It is killing our homes. It is killing God's sheep. This is what he wants us to think on. You know what the world's going to do? The world is going to do everything it can so that you don't think on these things. These are the things that he wants us to think on. And what we're going to need is we're going to need that oil. We're going to need that oil. Let's go back to Psalm 23. If immediate attention is not given, if strict attention is not given, when those flies come around, they're going to rest. They're going to get up in there and they're going to multiply. They're going to infect your mind. David said here, Lord, thou anointest my head with oil. So I think David's being honest, and I would that you would be honest today. I would that you would be honest and say, you know what? There's a lot of things that mess my mind up too. Now that could be a variety of things. That could be somebody said this, like I'm going through this. Somebody said this about me. I mean, it's a bunch of different things. Some of it is just the corruptness of the world. Some of it is just the foolish talk of others. And you let these things get in your mind and you let these things mess you up. And then the devil, the unclean spirits, the principalities and the powers of the air, they come in and mess you up and they'll sow a little fly there and get that thing wedged in there and mess you all up. We live in a perpetual state of the mind games of our time. Mind games that the devil plays relentlessly, and we let him just reside and camp out. I believe David's being honest, and he says there are a bunch of things that get into my head, and they lodge in my head, and they mess me all up. And what I think, he's sent, thou anointest my head with oil. He's saying, glory be to God. Thank you for anointing my head with oil. Because I need it, because things get up there and they mess me up. You know, if you'll be honest, you know today, lady, sir, that devil messes with your mind. Messes with your mind. Day after day and week after week. I don't know if David ever experienced the full gambit of what his sheep that he cared for went through, but certainly there are times where God's sheep, in one way or another, will experience these things. You're here today. What's in your mind, in your mind, in your mind, and what's messing with your mind there, messing with, is going to be different. Sometimes it's agonizing annoyance and you end up beating your head up against the wall. Sometimes it gets to the point where it gets in your mind and it gets lodged in there that you contemplate suicide. I really believe the reason why there's an increase today in the suicide rate, especially amongst our young people, is a direct result of what's getting in the heads of our people today. Our young people have this stuff that's just coming into their mind, and the rate of suicide is increasing because the mind is all messed up. There's no doubt, and no pun intended, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. We got young people that are, they're putting all this stuff in there, and it just, this thing's messing them up. And like that sheep, they can't get away from it. And they want to kill themselves. And some of them do kill themselves. That's the truth, isn't it? It's the truth. Saddens my heart what's happening to our young people today. And they're troubled, they're young, they're different ages of youth there, and it's just, they're, sometimes what gets in the head causes blindness. And you can't see as good as you once used to see. You can't see, and these things that have infected your mind, and you can't see as clearly as you once used to see, because you let this thing get up in there. You go to church for a period of time. You love the brothers. You love the sisters. You love the saints. You think they're wonderful. And then something gets up in your mind and you think they're all against you. And after a period of time, you think the preacher's against you. He knows about me. Somebody's talking to him. The devil's getting up in your mind. It's that fly getting up in your mind. They're mind games. Mind games. And what happens to these sheep when these flies get up in there? They can't see. They're bumping into everything. They can't see clearly. Why is it they can't see clearly? Why is it that at times in your own life, you know, man, I can't see. I can't see clearly because you let something get up in your head. You need some help. Sometimes you let that thing get up in your head and it causes you to run here and it causes you to run there and you still can't find relief. And sometimes you let that thing get up in your head and it causes you to go into hiding. And sometimes it causes you to refuse to graze at all. Sometimes because it got up into your head, you no longer read your Bible. You're no longer in church like it because it got up in your head. This society is bent on getting things in your head and you're making choices and decisions because of what's in your head. Sometimes people stop coming to church because they got something in their head. I'm telling you, when you stop going to church, you got something in your head. Because if you get the mind of Christ and you get the cross in your head, you're not going to leave church. You're not going to stay out of church. I don't care what happened in that church. Find you a place to serve God. Jesus Christ is worthy, worthy of our lives every single day. It does not matter what the rest of the world does. It doesn't matter what the rest of churches do. It doesn't matter what the rest of Christianity does. You don't quit on God. It's foolishness. Foolishness. Oh, they did this. This happened over there. Okay, if it happened, you still serve God because worthy is the Lamb. David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." So what is David saying? David is saying, God, you provide an antidote for me. God, you provide a balm for me. You provide oil for me that clears it all up. It clears up my mind, everything that's messing with me. God, you provide that for me and you do that for me. And he does. That's why you don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a psychologist. You don't need a Christian one. Put Christian in front of it. Doesn't matter. You don't need that. You need the help of God. We're turning to so many other sources today when we need to turn to God, get close to God, get close to that book, and get our lives all fixed up. An antidote is a medicine to counteract the effect of poison. An antidote is something that counteracts the evil which something else might produce. The Lord, our shepherd, has an oil that will take care of the troubles of our mind. And what it is it's called getting more of Jesus Christ into your life. That's the oil. That is the oil. The oil is getting your life wrapped up in Him. Getting a closer contact with Him instead of the contact with this mind meeting their mind. You need to get in contact with Him. We need to have more of Christ and His life and His will and His way poured over our mind and poured over our lives, and it'll take care of whatever the world's got going on out there. It'll take care of whatever is bothering you, whatever's in your mind. It'll take care of it if you'll get close to Him. It'll take care of it. It will. It'll take care of it. Notice with Isaiah chapter 26. There's no doubt, and forgive the continual pun unintended, no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. You're not going to find an individual that gets their life wrapped up in Jesus Christ that's going to be having a troubled mind like so many people have today. I hope you'll leave from here today, and if you let that little thing sit up in your mind, you recall this message. Why are you thinking like that? Why are you letting that little gnat, why are you letting that little fly just sit there? Because what it does is just produces another thing and another thing and another thing. And before you know it, you got this story that can write a 3-volume book, you know? Amen. You know, what we need to do is we need to get our brains washed. Yeah. People say, you people down there, y'all brainwashed. That you don't offend me one bit. You don't offend me one bit. I would say you're brainwashed, but that would be giving you too much credit. I'm not sounding real nice right now, I know. The problem is they're brain dirtied. They're absolutely brain dirtied. They're brain dirtied. I need to get brainwashed. Amen. John 15:3 said, you are clean through this word. I need a good washing. We need a good washing, amen. Because this world messes with your mind. And I'm telling you what, it is a brain dirt. Their mind is messed up. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at what's happening and what's coming forth. It's filth. It's dirty. All kinds of issues. Isaiah 26, notice when he pleads verse 3. Thou will keep him. I can't emphasize it enough. I can't emphasize it enough. I hope you don't take tranquilizers in here. You're in here telling you don't take tranquilizers. I hope you never put your children on that stuff either. I hope you never think you ever need it. There's no need for this stuff to fix the anxiety of our hearts and the troubles of our mind. We don't need that thing. All those things that produce more trouble. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Can you find better peace than that? Are we okay? I don't know if we are or not. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Have you ever tried that? Preacher, have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried it? Have you really tried it? It's the fix. It's the fix. It's a fix every day of your life. You'll wake up, that mind will start messing with you. It'll just start messing with you right away. I'm telling you what, somebody whose mind will be stayed on Jesus Christ, perfect peace. Perfect peace. I'm telling you what, you don't have to pay $50 an hour. You don't have to go to the pharmacy and wait in line for 3 hours to get that prescription. You got to get close to God. You got to get close to Jesus Christ. He'll fix it. No, you don't know my problem. You don't know my situation. You don't know my background. You don't know my family tree. I went all the way back to 16 something and I found some issues back there. That's why I am the way I am. Forgive me, that's just a bunch of hogwash. No, you are the way you are, any one of us at any given time, contingent upon what our relationship is with Jesus Christ. It's all contingent upon what our relationship is with Jesus Christ. I love my mom as best as I can. She's 82 years old. She doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Whew, she's an absolute mess. She cannot think. And you probably think I'm putting her down. I have no intention to put her down. I'm just trying to tell you. It's in direct relationship to Jesus Christ. Everything is a problem. Everything is just causes exasperates everything. Anxiety. Listen, you can say, preacher, what you're doing is you're relying on the creature more than the creator to take care of your problems. So we live in a world right now who says the creature can take care of my problems because we got this one, and for this day, try this. And I find out that if you try this day, and then you give a little dose of this, that, it'll just push, and go, I'm trying to convey to you, I thank God, I know Jesus Christ, I thank God, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Because I would be in that boat. I would be trying something to fix my anxiety and my problems. I'd be trying to run the man. Help me. I feel like I want to kill myself. Help me, please. Amen, brother. Praise God. I don't have to live that life anymore. Whew. I praise my God. I don't care how crazy this world goes. I don't have to live that way. Spin as fast as you want. Ain't bother me none. Say, man, you're a little bit loopy. Yeah. I got what I needed. Don't you ever let anybody put you down and say, oh, you people. They can't improve upon it. They can. They're trying to do everything they want. I want help, but you don't want God. You don't want Jesus Christ. If you're not that way here this morning, and the way that I'm saying, you know plenty of people that are that way. And if you'll be honest, you may be here this morning and you know what I'm saying is true. That will keep him in perfect peace. We don't believe it. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Perfect peace. You said, what about this? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That will do it. He'll do it. Verse 4 is the key, though. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Can I say something to you? Jesus Christ is the essential oil this morning. Jesus Christ is the essential oil that people need. They don't need religion. They don't need to be a Baptist. What people need today is Jesus Christ. Again, no doubt in my mind. Like Mark chapter 5, when they have an encounter with Jesus Christ, they'll be seated and clothed in their right mind. They'll have the joyful tidings that come underneath that banner. And it won't be violence, and it won't be hatred, and it won't be destruction. It'll be a transformation, a life that is transformed and changes our lives completely. The answer, if people come in contact with Jesus Christ, it will fix it. He's the essential oil. He is the essential oil. You know, I'm going to get a little sidetracked here for a moment, and I don't know how good I've done so far. So if you're here this morning and I haven't done too good, I'm probably getting ready to do worse. If you're here this morning... I just, Essential oils, Jesus Christ, what we have done. Essential oils has become very much like another program. It's become like another program. Try this oil for this, or this oil for this. Oh, you have an anger issue? Try this oil. Oh, you have a bad temper? Got one of these? Just let me take it out of my bag here. Got that for you. Oh, you say you're making fun. Yeah, it's some, I know. Preachers aren't supposed to do that. But just bear with me for a moment. You have a problem with jealousy? You have a problem with envy? You have a problem with hatred? You have a problem with anxiety? You have a problem with guilt? You have a problem with sadness? You have a problem with depression? You have a problem with discouragement? You have a problem with not being having enough courage? Here, we have a oil for you. It's become nothing more than a substitution for the real thing. You don't need to try all these different oils. You need to try Jesus Christ. And when you try him, you'll find him to be everything that he claims to be and so much more. And you'll find when you try him that he is who he says he is. And you will not be let down. You'll not walk away saying, he didn't fix it. He didn't fix it. No. If you're sincere and you're honest, he'll fix it. Jesus Christ is the one who can take care of every single problem you have. Essential oils that we're dealing with today have become nothing more than a multitude of steps. Here's a program for an alcoholic. Here's a program for a drug addict. Here's a program for this wicked thief over here. We're going to give you these steps. As I study this thing out, all it's become is a multitude of steps that you take. Oh, you just need this. I read this article of someone wanting to know what oil to use that would cause happiness, a sense of well-being. What oil do I use that would cause peace and harmony? What oil do I use that would cause forgiveness? This individual said that they needed some calming in their life. This is a individual who wrote this was someone who goes to a church of the same similar persuasion as this church. I'm not talking about another particular persuasion. Is there not something wrong with that? You want an oil for forgiveness? You want an oil for forgiveness? You can't get that in Jesus Christ? Another person wrote, a lady was told that she had deep hurts in her life, and if she rubbed a combination of oils over her heart every day, it would heal it. I'm not talking about another church persuasion. What I mean is they're fundamental, independent Baptists. So you get this oil, you get a combination of oils, and you rub it over your heart, and you'll get healing. Do you listen, I know you think I'm mean, but do you not see something wrong with that? That heart is just an organ. Do you know how foolish that is? Do you know what I'm saying? What's behind my chest is a muscle. It's an organ. But I'm going to rub this oil on here? Do you know what I'm saying? And that's going to heal me? You know what 1 Peter 5, 7 says? Let's turn to two verses and we'll try to wrap up for now. I'd like to finish this tonight, so maybe I can do that. Look at 1 Peter 5. I want to look at two verses before we wrap this up, because I really haven't gotten all the way there. But I want you to consider and think with me about this oil and that Jesus Christ is that essential oil. You know what? It doesn't cost you anything but humbling yourself. It's all it costs you. It's all it costs you. What does 1 Peter 5, 7 say? It says, casting all, does it not? Does it not say casting all, does it say that? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All of it, every single bit of it, cast it upon him, for he careth for you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. There's not a care that you cannot cast upon him, that he can't take care of. Again, I know I've run on words there. There's not a care that you understand that? Every bit of it, every bit of it. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing to live life and know him. There are some heavy heartaches that you may be going through now. You may go through this week, this month, this year. I don't know. But there is not a single care that will come your way this year, the rest of this year, or the years to come, that he can't take care of. Every one of them. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Perhaps you think I was being a little bit too hard with those articles there. I'm trying to say to you that when you start messing in that world of trying to give a bottle for a spiritual matter, you have gone too far. You have gone too far. Bible says here in Philippians chapter 4, why don't you let the Bible take care of that thing? Look at verse 6 with me, please. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. I don't need a bottle, okay, for any spiritual condition I have. I'm going to talk about that bottle in a minute. I don't need a bottle for any care, and intangible cares of life. I don't need a bottle for that. Everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. That's the answer. That's all that we need. What you'll normally find when someone is wrapped up in essential oils is you will normally find someone who is not wrapped up in what flows out of the pages of the Word of God. Did you follow that? What you will normally find when someone is wrapped up in those things, you will normally find, if you pull the string on that, they are not wrapped up in the Bible. I am telling you, I'm telling you, there's no doubt. If you'll get wrapped up in this, you will not get wrapped up in something else. You won't do it. You won't do it. You say, but I can give you 50 verses in the Bible on oils, preacher. You just don't know. It's all from the Bible. Let me tell you something. In the day and time we live in, everybody's got a verse for something to justify what they do. Knock it off. Knock it off. But they use oil over here. They use oil over here. Oil is not evil. It's the emphasis that we have placed upon it and making it an essential part of our lives to fix the spiritual struggles of our life and to fix the mind games of our life. And that is wrong. And again, if you'll be honest, you go pull the string on that thing, they're not saturated with this. Why don't we find someone like they did in the book of Acts in the early church that gets addicted to the ministry? Why don't you get addicted to this? I'll tell you, I praise God for some oils. Amen. You get those mosquitoes off is a blessing. Is it not? It is a blessing. You spray that stuff. Anybody got a bottle off? Anybody got a bottle off? That is an oil. Oils are perfumes. Oils are fragrance. Oils have an influential power in people's lives. I'm not going to take that away from you. But it's not going to fix the spiritual trouble of your heart and your mind. It's not going to fix that. Because while I can put some kind of fragrance in this room and that might lighten you up, you're still going to walk out with that same problem. Because it didn't fix your spiritual troubles of your heart and your mind. Psalm 23, and we're going to have to finish. The Bible says there, this is the spirit, this is the essential oil that everyone needs. You have guilt. I'm sorry, but you can get mad at me, but I have a, it's preposterous that you think something in a bottle can fix your guilt. You're just like that drunkard who thinks that they can drink and fix their guilt. You know what? They still wake up with it. Am I telling the truth? Is that, that's right. They still wake up with it. So you think you got this and you do something with it, it's going to fix your guilt. Oh, I got a problem with a sister. I got a problem with a brother. I got a problem with some relative in my family. You just got to go to the Lord. You just need to go to the Lord. Lord, I don't have the courage I need to wait. There's not these 50 bottles. There's one. It's the Lord. The Bible says there in Psalm 23:5, thou anointest my head with oil. There is an oil that we need. David says, you do that for me. My mind gets messed up. I didn't cover everything. And I'm going to try to touch more on this perhaps tonight. But there are so many different mind games being played out in our lives every day. Different things. Some very corrupt, some very minor. They're minor because you heard something over here and you let that fly get in there and it messed you all up. Thou anointest my head with oil. And David said, I thank you. And I'll tell you what, I thank the Lord today that he anoints my head with oil. And he gives me that oil. Of that contact that comes from him and just fixes it all. When we pick up, next time we're going to look at this oil a little bit more that we need. This is the oil that needs to flow on our lives. This is the anointing that we need. It's not some special. You know what I'm saying? This is something that everybody can have. This anointing of God that comes with just a close contact with him. With him. That's Dan. I know I touched on, we've been long. I've touched on so much here this morning. Sometimes I understand that it's offensive. I mean no offense, but I do mean to deal with it. Okay? And the reason why I need to deal with it is because just like the apps that are out there today that are destroying people's minds, there's a lot of other things out there that are destroying people's minds too. And there are issues that we have to cover in 2020 that they did not have to cover in 1920. And this stuff is getting in and it's messing with people's minds. Listen, our mind needs to be stayed on him. And I would urge you to try and attempt to do that every day of your life. From the moment you get up, get your mind stayed on him. Get your mind stayed on how he brought the gospel to you, how he saved your soul from hell, how you have eternal life. Get your mind stayed on the cross and what Christ did by being the sacrifice for you and me. Get your mind stayed on that. That's where it needs to go. And that's where we spend so little time. I'm just trying to be a help this morning. I think of this song, you're standing. So we're done. But I think of that song we sang this morning, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things I thought was so neat. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Such a good message, right? Let's pray. Has the Lord spoken to you in any way today? Please, please do not be resistive and don't be stubborn. There's help for you today. There's help for your soul. And as I pray, I would just ask you to walk away from this place seeking to have a closer relationship with Him. Nothing will do more for your life. Nothing will do more for your life than to have His life flow out in you. Father, please be with us as we go from here now and help us with what was said. I don't want to get in the way, Lord, and so often I feel like I do. I pray that you could, or you would, just overcome my shortcomings, God, and allow something that was said today to be a help to those in attendance here at this place in Virginia Beach, that you do something special in our hearts and in our minds that we can walk away from here drawing closer to you. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen.